Kellogg, Banks Terrace, Wellington, New Zealand, June 14, 1893. Kellogg Sanitarium, Battle Creek, Michigan. Dear brother, your interesting letter received. How thankful I would be if there were a medical missionary in Wellington, or nurse who could take proper care of the sick. There is a Sister Glover, a sick sister, who would be benefited by such treatment. Sister Glover keeps the Sabbath, and her husband, who is a proprietor of some engineer works, believes the truth, but has not the converting power of God upon his heart, and does not obey the truth. Sister Glover's case seems hopeless. She suffers much with lung difficulty. I know if we had anyone that could give the water treatment, hot and cold to the spine, and hot fomentations, she could be relieved of much of her pain. Senior Tuxford called to see them, and Mr. Glover told her that he had sat up and watched over her so much that he was about worn out. He is very attentive to her. A judicious nurse or medical missionary would do so much good. We are not one of us able to go and act as nurse. She does not want anyone not of our faith. She says the unbelievers come in and talk their worldly talk, and she has no interest in any of those things. She knows she must die, and she wants those around her who will not distract her mind from Jesus. Mr. Glover is trying to act the nurse. If we could have one fully calculated to educate and train persons to nurse, much good might be done. Mr. Glover has just sent for Sister Tuxford, and she expects to sit up tonight. I have not been well for a couple of weeks, else I should have visited her. I am thankful that I am not crippled with rheumatism. I can get around nicely now, but my right hip will not permit me to walk much. Efforts have been made to obtain for me a rolling chair, such as you have at the sanitarium. I hope I will not be compelled to purchase one. I can walk a short distance without inconvenience, and go up and down stairs well. When the weather is fine, and when I am obliged to drop my writing for a little rest, I go out for a drive. Sometimes I go 2 and 3 times a week. It costs me 7 sixpence, that is about $2 for each drive, and we can drive from 2 to 4 hours for this price. We generally go at 9 o'clock, and sometimes we remain out until 1 o'clock. They furnish us a very easy phaeton and good horse. I enjoy this very much. In the March mail, I think I sent you a copy of a letter that I had written to Stanton of Montana. Well, this Confederacy of Error sent over here a man full of zeal, and with pamphlets treating on this new light. They claim to have the third angel's message, and they call the Seventh-day Adventist, Church, Babylon, and their cry is to call all God's children to come out of her. They have, as you will see, used my name and testimonies to give influence to their erroneous positions. I think this is taking bold steps, but I am doing what I can to counteract these errors. The man sent to this country is about 37 years old. Brother Starr has seen him, and says he appears to be perfectly honest. Brother Starr met him in Hobart, Tasmania, when he was on his way to Melbourne. He says he feels like treating him kindly, and he feels like helping him to see his mistake. He told him what he thought of his message. His name is Caldwell. Since writing the above, a message, telegram, came to me from Caldwell. It said, "Waiting your advice. Caldwell, Melbourne." After much thought, I sent a return telegram. "Advise with Star, letter on way." I had written 32 pages upon this subject, and sent them to Fanny to prepare for circulation. "You shall have the matter as soon as ready, but it will be 3 days more before it will reach Melbourne, and several days added to that before he can have it to read. These men get so uneasy, and in such a hurry, I question if he can be held long enough to get the matter." As the Sabbath was drawing on, June 9th, the mail from Melbourne was delivered to us. It brought to us a long letter from Brother Starr, and Brother Caldwell wrote out the evidences, as he called them, for his accepting this so-called new light. He unfortunately fell in with Stanton and has been carried away with his loud cry. He states that he has been all melted down with the kind treatment he has received at the George's Terrace School. All have treated him kindly and courteously. He said when he was at Battle Creek that they shunned him and showed him as little attention as possible. I think there is a way to treat those that are in error, for some who are honest may err from the truth. We should always be prepared to represent Jesus, else we are not Christians. We are not only to be Bible readers, but doers of the word. For we are to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 6, verse 1. 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I have been much pained when one is deceived and falls into error, that they are too often left out in the cold, without making decided efforts to recover them. To censure them and call them dishonest is not the way to do. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. If this work has been done, and they will not hear, we must go forward in warning the church of their defection. But has there been the opening the Bible with prayer and earnest interest to recover the erring? If not, then there has been a positive neglect of following the counsel of God. Certainly, these men have been weaving a very plausible fabric, although it is error, but the erring should be treated with tender love for Christ's sake. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. James 5, verse 19-20. Also, in Matthew 18, verse 15-17. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault, between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. These special directions should be followed. The rules laid down are plain and explicit. But how few obey these rules? How few are doers of the words of Christ? How large a number neglect the very plain directions given, and as the result, many souls are lost? How much we, as individuals, need tact, mercy, and the love of God. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 10, verse 11. I am sure we have work to do in these lines. We must do it under the influence of the Spirit of God. There must be no harshness of spirit manifested toward those who become deceived. While we stand stiffly for the truth, we are to be sure to exercise the meekness of Christ. Self must be hid in Christ. Self must not be puffed up. Self must not become exalted. We are on test, on trial. Whatever may be our position, whatever our influence, it will be augmented 50-fold if we act the principles of truth in our daily life. We are forming characters that we are to take with us in the future life, and we cannot be careless and excuse defection of character in ourselves. Do the best we can, and we often give offense, and cause pain and misapprehension. But if we keep an eye single to the glory of God, we shall have tact and wisdom. Angels of God will be close beside us, and sometimes in human form, but we see them only as men. These angels have stood by your side again and again, and you knew them not. Unseen angels have on occasions held and guided your hand, and could your eyes be opened, you would have seen that heavenly intelligences were cooperating with you. Ever bear this in mind. You will meet with persons who are jealous and sensitive, and too often they make you impatient. But remember that Jesus bears with them, even those who have pampered their pride into morbid activity, and their spirit is like an inflamed wound. It will not even bear to be touched. Our Master, Christ Jesus, was often misunderstood and unkindly judged, and if you follow in the footsteps of Jesus, you realize the same experience. But if we study to show ourselves approved unto God, we shall avoid, as far as possible, anything that will stir up the feelings and leave disagreeable impressions, remembering we are working out characters for the future immortal life. The Lord God will teach and guide us individually. If we seek Him with all our heart, He will be found of us. But let us not forget that He is no respecter of persons. Let us hear what Christ hath to say unto His followers. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5, verse 43-48. Since writing the above, Sister Tuxford has returned from Sister Glover's. The physicians had a consultation and consider her case hopeful, but deferred giving their opinion until they had an examination of the matter they pumped from her stomach. Senior Tuxford used the hot water bag, and it eased the pain. A medical missionary could do good. If we could only have medical missionaries for the large cities that would be capable of training nurses for usefulness, what a vast amount!